This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Now taking a look also at local news this morning, IHH Healthcare has proposed to buy the entire stake of Prince Court Medical Centre for just over 1 billion ringgit. Now IHH has said that its wholly owned unit, Pantai Holdings, has signed a conditional share purchase agreement with Pulau Memutik Ventures, which is a Khazanah National subsidiary.
So according to IHH's filing to Bursa and in Bursa, the acquisition will be funded via its own fund as well as some bank loans. Dr. Kevin Lowe, the CEO designate of IHH, has said that they will be adding Prince Court Medical Centre to its existing network of all the 15 hospitals across Malaysia.
Now, we look at the financial impact of the acquisition of IHH. It's expected to contribute positively to the group's future earnings and cash flows, add to the group's clinical talent pool, and help IHH gain a larger share of the medical tourism market. Now, yeah, it sounds really nice, but let's look at the numbers again as usual. So, they're basically paying 1.02 billion ringgit for this acquisition, which works out to an enterprise value over earnings before interest, tax, depreciation and amortization of 21.9 times. In a nutshell, it's a lot of money.
Okay.
And there are a few things that make it expensive. One of which is it scalable? Because you're really just buying one single hospital located in a very nice location in Jalan Tun Razak. But I don't know how you're going to expand this hospital. And is there synergy? Because IHH already has Gleneagles in Jalan Ampang, not too far away from this hospital.
No, very close. It's within 10 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but the traffic from Bukit Bintang to Gleneagles,
maybe
you have
to
take
that into consideration, makes a difference, right? If you're in an ambulance,
well,
yeah, okay.
If you're on a helicopter, yeah. But that's the synergy we're looking for, maybe.
But at the same time, if we try and remember the history, right, IHH was speculated to be in talks to acquire Prince Court from Petronas, the original owner, in 2008. Hmm. And in the end, it was Khazanah that took over Prince Court.
Yeah, so Prince Court was set up in late 2007 and at the time cost Petronas 500 over million ringgit for construction. And the first 10 years was pretty difficult. The hospital was bleeding cash. With FY 2016, it was reported that Prince Court had actually accumulated losses of 1.4 billion ringgit.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, if we look at, again, if we look at historically, so post GE14, Khazanah has been undergoing internal restructuring and is a kitchen sinking in its books. So under the new mandate, we're looking at our sovereign wealth fund focusing on growing financial assets and diversifying the country's revenue stream as part of its commercial objectives. So for strategic fund, the fund will hold on to assets that bring long-term economic benefits. So back in March, we're looking at Khazanah Managing Director Datuk Shahrul Rizal one said that its commercial fund is transitioning to a more strategic asset allocation based portfolio in the next 5 years.
But actually this sale would, I wonder whether it would mean a write-off for Khazanah, because they did acquire this for 1.09 billion not more than a year ago, and now they're selling it to IHH for 1.02 billion. And bear in mind, this is ultimately still a related party transaction because they have one, you know, IHH biggest shareholder is Khazanah.
Yeah, so Khazanah holds about a 26% stake in IHH. They did sell a 16% stake to Japan's Mitsui & Co. last year for about 8.4 billion, which saw Mitsui actually become IHH's largest shareholder.
Oh, sorry, so they are the largest.
Yes, so they used to be, Khazanah used to be their
largest
shareholder.
So now they're up to
26%.
So Khazanah, yeah, it's dropped down since that sale.
But we have also seen a similar sort of transaction. Actions happening, particularly this one between Hong Leong Group and Columbia Asia, because they announced that they're going to be acquiring Columbia Asia hospitals in Southeast Asia for 5 billion ringgit, I think. And Hong Leong has said that the group is going to acquire 17 Columbia Asia hospitals and one clinic across three countries, so Malaysia, Indonesia and Vietnam. And I think this is the group's first foray into healthcare, right?
Yeah, healthcare has always been popular in terms of assets, especially from the PE fund. There are a few reasons for it, because everybody gets sick, right? It's supposed to be a defensive sector. Added to it is that in Asia, especially in emerging markets, insurance penetration is just beginning to rise. And with that, there's going to transition from public healthcare to private healthcare. And the EBITDA margins of healthcare business in Asia is double that what you can see in Europe. So EBITDA margins are typically in the 20% levels versus America, which are in the just low teens. So healthcare assets in Asia, you know, not priced cheaply at all. If you look at some of the Thai hospitals like Bumrungrad, their EV/EBITDA is even higher at 30 times. So perhaps maybe you can say that IHH is getting a good deal with Prince Court. But the other flip side is that IHH has some work cut up for it, because the EBITDA margins at Prince Court are only 17% versus IHH across the group at 22.5%.
So I think it's the timing, isn't it? It's quite ripe, especially with the aging population that we have right now. A lot of them are baby boomers. They are the loaded, I would say, generation. They are, you know, fluent. They are ready to spend, especially when it comes to healthcare, besides the insurance penetration being low, and that is looking to increase. And there is attempt to increase it from beyond 50% that we currently have.
Right? Not just that, rising middle classes as well. So, you know, China, for example, is a huge market for this. And considering the fact that we do have about half the world's population here in Asia, we do have I do think we have the larger population of the world's sick as well, because we generally, across Asia versus North America, for example, and Europe, generally incomes are lower. You do get a higher number of the world's poor as well.
I just wonder what Khazanah is up to, guys.
Okay.
I just keep coming back to that, right? Because there is this shortfall of 0.7 billion ringgit, right?
Yes.
So what's Khazanah up to? Especially since budget is round the corner in October 11. And it's a bit of a left to right hand transaction.
Yeah, so maybe we'll find out over the next couple of days. But also this morning, in some other local news, a political funding bill has finally been introduced, and this is along with the establishment of an ombudsman, and the bill is likely to be tabled in the Dewan Rakyat next month. This is according to National Centre for Governance, Integrity and Anti-Corruption, or the GIACC, Director General Tan Sri Abu Qasim Mohamed. So this is to make Malaysia a corruption-free nation. It's not quite known what form the bill is going to take, but in January, Abu Qasim said that political parties will have to disclose all sources of funding, including donations.
Yeah, but that's not it. That's not just all, isn't it? I mean, we're also looking at other bills, the Independent Police Complaints and Misconduct Commission, the IPCMC, which has been hotly discussed over a couple of months. That has already been tabled in Parliament and would likely be passed in October. And we're also looking at a special cabinet committee on anti-corruption, which has been set up to set policy to improve governance as well as reducing corruption.
Now, the Prime Minister chairs the Anti-Corruption Committee, which comprises of the Deputy Prime Minister, senior ministers representing all component parties of the ruling coalition, Secretary General of all the ministries, the Chief Secretary to the government, the Auditor General, the Attorney General, as well as the Malaysian Anti-Corruption Commission Agency Chief. I wonder who's left out.
Yeah, so looking at that list, right, it's a list of all the leading lights here in Malaysia. But you wonder, logistically speaking, how often will they actually be able to get all of these people together in one room? And what are going to be the mechanisms to ensure that politicians actually comply with disclosing donations? I mean, so far, we have had Pakatan Harapan ministers complying with the call to declare their net worth. And that was one of the original, election promises that they put forward. But how do you implement this across the board? And where is this body that oversees all of this going to be parked? Because we have seen in other countries like Thailand, for example, parking a division that oversees declarations of wealth, say under the Prime Minister's office, still does leave it open to corruption at the end of the day.
Yes, but so we're looking at another committee, right? I mean, we have experience.
We love committees in Malaysia.
That's right. So we have the Select Committee, but the question was with the previous Select Committee is the mandate and the power that they have. For example, when we talked about the Appointment Committee previously, at the end of the day, it was the Prime Minister that made the appointment rather than the taking the recommendation from the committee. But this time around, this committee is chaired by the Prime Minister himself. So I guess there's a lot of power there.
Yeah, the other thing also is that is this going to include every asset, including things like chin-chin la, handbags la, you know? That all has to be declared, right?
The stray tiara you have lying in the corner of your bedroom, yeah. So the other thing about this bill that is set to be introduced is that the private sector is not going to be spared. So companies and managements will also reportedly be held responsible if they fail to impose measures to check corruption.